A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday the 25th of June. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Addy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the Ramble lineup you've all been waiting for. This could be weird. It could get weird, Andy.
Let's hope so.
Let's get weird, guys.
Weird is wonderful.
Look, we are the Liverpool front three, aren't we?
What a week it's been. I mean, we are now into the first week of Premier League football returning. Is anyone sick of it yet?
Massively. I'm sick of seeing Alisson Maximan frowning because none of his teammates are any good. I'm sick of him. I'm going to do everything. And that's the final truth on what I've been watching. But yeah, it's just endless. I'm obsessed with trying to consume everything and I'm not managing to do it. And I feel like I'm letting myself down. I think I'm letting the Football Ramble Daily down. But I'm doing my best, guys.
It's relentless, isn't it?
It's
non-stop. It's like one game finishes and you're like, next channel now, next game, and then match of the day after.
Well, we live in the era of the multi-screen where you can have television, laptop, iPad, phone.
Limited devices on some providers, though. That's the problem. You've got to choose.
Right, right.
You've got your Now TV, you've got your BT. I'm confused. Yeah. What am I allowed?
Actually, while we're on the subject of Alisson Maximan, I wanted to ask you a question, Pete. Presumably, this sticky that on his headband that is to cover a designer brand.
Yeah.
Is it to cover a designer brand or is it to cover up the fact that Mike Ashley's given him something from Slazenger?
Well, I'm fairly certain when he arrived. Well, he was known as the Gucci kind of headband.
Yes.
Everybody had his Gucci had Gucci headbands when they went to the football. So I presume it's still Gucci. He's covered it up. Or maybe Mike Ashley has insisted that it's one of his flannels brands. That, yes. I don't know what they sell. I walked into a flannels once on Oxford Street. I didn't really know what was going on. It was all very gaudy, gaudy, gaudy.
What's
gaudy.
Flannels?
It's like a posh everything else that Mike Ashley does. It's like a posh, it's like a premium outlet store.
I've never even heard of it.
You can get cheap handbags, like nice handbags.
Is it like a TK Maxx?
Yeah.
But they Mike sell Ashley like, version?
Yeah. It's like, if you want Machino, a really horrible Machino belt on the cheap.
Right.
Go there.
Well, me and Pete are struggling to keep up with all of the Premier League football.
Mm.
Andy, how on earth are you managing to do all of that as well as all the European stuff? Have you slept?
Not particularly well, but that's more due to my six-year-old wandering in and waking me up in the middle of the night rather than the amount of football that's actually on.
Mm.
It's funny, when Javier Tebas, the president of La Liga, said before the comeback of La Liga, we're going to have football every day. Mm. I assumed, I might have said this already, I assumed he meant football-based content every day. Maybe one day we'll have a game, then we'll have a discussion,
yeah.
Then we'll look back at over the great clubs of yesterday. He means a
None
football match. He means several football matches.
We're going to rock and roll all night.
Single day.
And party every day.
Exactly. The Premier League is going light next to La Liga.
Yeah.
It's going light. So less of the Premier
League. There's more La Liga.
Oh, really?
Like they want to take over the world.
It's La Liga.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the Premier League first of all, because last night there were five matches, which I think we've all just about managed to keep up with.
And too early as well.
And, 6 o'clock is very early.
I had a KFC, massive bucket of KFC and watched the Newcastle match at 6. Oh, it was lovely.
Did you
it's funny, the Newcastle players looked like they'd had a KFC bucket before they got started. I don't know, it was the first time, I don't know about you guys, but that I watched Premier League games and I thought these are kicking off too early. The players look flaked. I mean, obviously the temperature's gone up a little bit this weekend.
Hot, wasn't it?
Maybe I'm being kind on Newcastle and Aston Villa, but I did feel that those 6 o'clock games. 30 degrees. Yeah, it's hot.
And it's going to be the same again today. And there's obviously more matches tonight as well. Mm. Yeah, it's a struggle in this heat, this their heat. But I suppose they're warming up for the World Cup, aren't they? It's going to be hot out there. They better get used to it. So let's start with the best game from yesterday. Liverpool, Crystal Palace, 4-0 victory for the champions elect. Basically, how it stands is if City drop any points tonight, the title is officially Liverpool's for the first time in 30 years. I mean, finally, because this feels like it's been dragging on now.
I mean, after their result, obviously, in their last match, I just thought they were going to kind of limp over the line a little bit and you know, almost wait till the very, very end of the season. But this, I think for anyone who has a dislike of Liverpool, and especially Liverpool fans, this is the best situation if it could possibly happen if Man City gift the title to Liverpool.
Because they'll end up celebrating it like Leicester.
Celebrating at Leicester, celebrating at home. If you're a Liverpool fan, you must be gutted. But I'm sure it doesn't take much away from a Liverpool lifting the title, surely.
No, this performance was something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to show my old man credentials here, and it reminded me...
Are you the old man of this trio then? Is this what we're setting this up as? You're the old man. Pete, what are you in this threesome?
Well, I mean, Andy's got kids, so he's virile. He's young. I feel older than everyone. Yeah. I feel dreadful.
Not with that hair, Pete.
No, yeah, I've bleached my hair. Not that anyone can see me, but still.
It's a good look. It's a good look. Go on then, old man credentials, Andy.
So this is, I know everyone's keeps saying this is the first Liverpool title since 1990, but really, what this is about is the best Liverpool side since 87-88, which is the best English club side I can remember seeing at first hand. They're incredible. And just before the end of that season, they, in the April of 88, they beat Nottingham Forest 5-0. And you'll have seen the game. Because it's one of those old classics, and you know you have Tom Finney on the touchline afterwards, who was at Anfield that night talking about it and saying it was perfect. The Brazilians couldn't have done better, and it was amazing. And it was amazing because they were clearly going to win the league anyway, but yet there was such a hunger, such a desire, not just to get it over the line as quickly as possible, but just to prove how bloody good they are.
Mm.
And that's what I got from this game. I mean, you know, Palace are not the equals of 1988 Nottingham Forest, who are pretty good. You know, you think like Nigel Clough, Stuart Pearce, et cetera, et cetera. But Palace are a tough nut to crack.
Mm.
And they just walked all over them like they were nothing. And, you know, it wasn't just a desire to beat them. It was a desire to beat them and then beat them some more and then continue proving how good they were.
There was no stopping, was there? Even when they were 4-0 up, you could see they were still going for more goals and winning the ball back constantly.
Exactly. That desire. I mean, it was like that game in when Liverpool beat Forest 5-0 in 88, or it was like in the Euro 2012 final when Spain beat Italy and, you know, they saved their best for that moment.
Yeah, I think we needed a reminder of that because obviously things were sliding a little bit before we hit the break. But I did like Klopp's quote at the end. Four up in the 87th minute, and four players were chasing this poor Crystal Palace player as though it was the only ball in the world. I liked that so much. He's like a baddie in a film.
Oh. Klopp's interviews are brilliant, though. I love the fact that whenever any reporter interviews Jurgen Klopp, they know they only need to ask him one question. You basically just like tee Jurgen Klopp up. You just wind him up and then you let him go and he just speaks. You can ask him one question and he'll answer 10 questions in that one answer. He's just absolutely brilliant. He also said regarding this weekend, because everyone's asking how Liverpool are going to watch the Man City-Chelsea game tonight. And Klopp was a little bit kind of, you know, whatever, as they all did. They're all playing it down as if they don't care. Of course they care. They're all going to be watching it.
They can't have a big Vardy party around his house, can they? Can't be dragging footballers around the floor. It's disappointing.
What a shame. What a shame. But I love the fact that because Manchester City have an FA Cup game this weekend and Pep Guardiola has said he's going to rest players, one of Jurgen Klopp's other great quotes from last night was he said, Pep should play poker. And I can just imagine Pep Guardiola sat around a poker table. He'd be bloody good, wouldn't he? You wouldn't be able to second guess anything that man does.
He'd have cards jammed down his roll neck. Just pull out.
Can we pick the best of last night's goals, though? Four brilliant goals. Trent Alexander-Arnold's free kick was sensational. You had the Salah goal, which had the unreal pass from Fabinho. Then Fabinho's absolute thunderbolt. And then Mane's goal to kind of round things off, which is a brilliant play. Which was the best?
I'm going TAA. I think that was fantastic. We haven't seen enough of those from him this season. And I think the thing is with the Fabinho goal, yeah, it was fantastic, followed by some top Portuguese swearing after it went in.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
But I think the thing with that is no one came to close him down. That was very un-Palace. At that point, Palace were like, oh, we're done. We're so knackered. I mean, anyone who's ever played football at any level, including at Power League, has had one or two of those matches where you get flattened by a team who are much better than you, and it is exhausting.
It was the first time since 2008 that a team hasn't had a touch in the opposition box for a full 90 minutes. That just goes to show how dominant Liverpool were, because as you say, Andy, Crystal Palace are a really tough team to beat, and usually they play games like this, and actually they've got a pretty good record against Liverpool, haven't they?
What was their expected goals?
More than Bournemouth.
Gotta be. Did anyone feel sorry for Roy Hodgson at the end?
I felt more sorry for Sako coming back to that particular situation.
All right, well, there we go. Liverpool beating Crystal Palace by 4-0. The other decent game last night, Manchester United, a 3-0 victory over Sheffield United. This was 3-3 in the reverse fixture earlier on this season. So, I don't know, I didn't quite expect Sheffield United to get beaten the way they did last night, but we've been talking about their, and we spoke about it yesterday, their defensive issues without Dean Henderson in the side, without John Egan. O'Connell's been out injured as well. But do you feel, Andy, that Manchester United have taken this next step now? They're unbeaten in 13 matches in all competitions.
Yeah, they haven't. They're far improved. There's no doubt about that. I don't think it necessarily lends it to you guys were so wrong about Solskjaer. I think it's fine to criticise him and make constructive criticism as well. Although generally I think the criticism has been more of the club and the way it's run than it has of him. But the fact remains they've got a lot of good players. I think the identity that they've got at the moment, that they're fine, like leaning on the fact that they're great on the break, I think that is a step forward, definitely. They defend more tidily at the moment, which is a thing. They've got Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba playing together for the first time, which again is a huge step forward. I mean, with the counter-attacking thing, I do think it's funny how, you know, we have a certain image of how United should play. If you look back to some really great United sides, they had quite strong counter-attacking instincts. I mean, when they had Rooney and Ronaldo in their absolute pomp, I mean, you remember that goal they scored against Bolton where they went from back to front just between the two of them in what, the space of about 11 seconds or something like that. I'm sure someone on the Discord will come up, or Twitter will come up with the actual time.
Secondage.
Feel free to correct me. But, you know, I don't think the two things are necessarily incompatible. And so much of how football is played successfully in the Premier League is is about counterattack anyway, isn't it?
Mm. And obviously the headlines will be about this misbehaving performer that's not putting the yards in, he's got a bad attitude. But when you start surrounding him with better performers, you're going to get the best out of him. I'm, of course, talking about myself on the Football Ramble. But Pogba is very much the same in that particular situation. But they are just linking up very, very well. And Martial just looks like the player that cost all that money all those years ago.
This is certainly the best you've performed on the Ramble, Pete.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks to us.
Thank you.
What about Martial's hat-trick, though? Really pleased for him, actually, to see him get his first hat-trick for the club and the first Man United player to score a Premier League hat-trick since Robin van Persie in 2013.
That's huge.
That doesn't sound right, does
it?
It doesn't
at all.
That there's been another player that's done it in that time. It's been 7 years.
Indicative of a wider problem.
Well, it's funny, actually, because I don't know if you saw the Match of the Day interview with Solskjaer afterwards, where whoever was interviewing Solskjaer put that to him. And he looked really quite annoyed and just affronted.
Like, don't
about
remind
it,
me.
As if, like, someone had said to him, United have been awfully weak. It's not all your fault, but I can see it hurts you deeply. It was a bit of a Jeff Shreve-sing
right,
of him,
yeah,
really,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
The thing is with Martial, though, is it sort of feels to me that he's one of those strikers who clearly has the ability to perform that well, but for some reason hasn't really looked that happy in the last couple of seasons at United and just hasn't been performing to the level he should. Do you expect that this might help him kick on now, Andy?
Maybe. I think if you sort of govern your... I guess it's like Manchester United in microcosm, isn't it? The expectations are so linked to how much everyone cost, which is not really realistic, I think, when you've looked at the squad they've got. And I think Martial's the same, isn't he? If you look at how much he's cost and the actual on-pitch experience that he's got, it's not enormous, is it? I mean, it's especially at the point that he arrived at Manchester United.
Well, back then, that amount, what was it, 45? Like, that amount of money would get you a player that you would expect to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Would that be fair in saying that?
Yeah, I think so. And all the built-in bonuses and all the rest of it. I mean, I think the way the bonuses were structured, it was very much, right, you are going to be the greatest. It almost added expectation as much as anything else. You know, there's like a Ballon d'Or clause in there as well as a Champions League clause.
Really? Wow.
All that sort of stuff, the full nine yards. So, I mean, I tend to think he's developed a reasonable rate, but reasonable's not good enough for Manchester United. It's a bit like when we were talking about Adama Traore the other day, or when the guys were talking about Adama Traore the other day.
I mean, we're always talking about Adama Traore because he's always so good.
But I think the thing is with him, he has developed at a reasonable rate as well. He's 24 and he's just finding his best self. Now, that's normal. Mm. Unfortunately, we spend all our time watching freaks like Messi, Ronaldo, Sancho, Alexander Arnold, all of those sort of players heighten our expectations of and warp our expectations of what is normal, I think. Whereas if you look at Traore, someone who came through the Barcelona Academy and was at Barcelona, what, for 10 years? If you look at the point from when he came in the Academy to the point at which he gets sold to Villa. And so, you know, he clearly always had something, but he's... You can see the work that's gone in over the last couple of years, but that's considered slow these days rather than organic.
Do you think Anthony Martial will be happy? Andy Brassel has said he's not a freak.
Maybe in the kind of, what was that song in the 80s? Super Freak. In that kind of, I'd be happy to be called a super freak.
Rick James.
Super Freak A. Yeah, Rick James, yeah.
It was nice to see him happy though, wasn't it? You know, he scored his hat trick. He, you know, got substituted and was sat there and he's just smiling. It's nice to see footballers happy.
Well, I just kind of worry that this kind of, these 10 games will be treated like this bubble, and it obviously will be treated as this bubble, and the form will not continue into the next season, and it'll be like some kind of fever dream. Did that actually happen? Did we perform in that way? I hope it does for Anthony Martial because I think he's an incredibly talented footballer, but I don't know.
And what about top four for United now? Because they're pretty close, just 2 points off Chelsea in fourth, and obviously Chelsea play Man City tonight, so it's going to be pretty close for the rest of these games.
Yeah, it is. I think what's interesting about Chelsea, when you talk about the bubble, Pete, is the fact that they're already projecting forward to what's happening next with Timo Werner, with the talk about Kai Havertz. They're already looking to the next stage. And you're right, Jules, they've got to make sure they're in the Champions League first. Okay, they'll probably make it, especially as fifth will probably be good enough for the Champions League, depending on what happens to Manchester City. But you can't put the cart before the horse. It is important that they get it over the line. You can tell Frank Lampard will be nagging them about exactly that. But
have these signings come in with? I mean, if they don't manage to get into the Champions League, I mean, presumably they've already been signed. So unlucky lads. I mean, you know. You may not be playing Champions League football next season, but you are right. Chelsea, historically, they've historically done all of their business quite early, and that's always seen them quite well, I think.
Bought a striker that's not injured. I mean, that's a step forward, isn't it?
Look, do it. Just do it.
Well, Man City against Chelsea is one of the games coming up tonight, which we're going to preview shortly. We'll also have a look at a couple of the other matches from last night and get Andy's thoughts on what's been happening in Europe as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Japan-based YouTuber Chris Broad every Wednesday as we offer the lowdown on what's happening in one of the most unique and exciting countries in the world. The Abroad in Japan podcast is home to all things Japan, from things to do...
So today we've come to you guys with 12 places in Japan that nobody knows about.
...to the bizarre...
When I moved into my new apartment last year, the police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, I am Japanese policeman. That's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman.
To the downright filthy.
And for those of you that don't know what a tenga is... Pete and I did discuss how to describe it best before doing the podcast, and I'll let Pete describe what a tenga is. What is it, Pete?
It's a solo male silicon-based ornanist's aid, so to speak.
Brilliant.
New episodes every single Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Abroad in Japan is a Stakhanov production.
Hello, this is the Football Ramble. Jules Breach, Andy Brassel and Pete Donaldson here for you this Thursday. All right, let's talk about a couple of the other games from last night. This is one I didn't watch, but I did see the highlights of this on Match of the Day. Pete, over to you. Newcastle Villa, a 1-1 draw. Are you as angry as you were the other day after your 3-0 win?
I don't know why everyone pictures me as this man who hates my own club and hates himself, etc., etc., because I do genuinely love a Newcastle win until we get taken over by despots, murderous despots. I'm in a situation where I watch certain players for Newcastle United, like the ASM and ASMR, as I occasionally call him. I think he will get upset at some point, constantly putting the ball into the 6-yard box and just nobody being there.
Oh, some of the balls he put into the box, and you think, why is no one there to put that away? He's actually my favourite player in the Premier League that plays for another club.
Yeah, he's very, very easy on the eye. He just knows how to entertain. And you know, Newcastle have got a fan history of I think Alan Pardew once said that Newcastle always buy like naughty boys. You know, the Ben Arfas and stuff. They're these players who have prodigious talent, but they are a bit naughty. ASM is just a delight on and off the field. I love that guy so much. But I think Newcastle United, the way that they are not giving him the chance to up his assist level, for example, I think at some point that will very much lose its shine a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be tricky for the weekend because obviously... Matt Ritchie, big miss, big
That's
engine,
big miss,
working really,
yeah.
really hard. I mean, we shouldn't have to put up with a man of his vintage, you know, pulling the team up by their bootstraps. But he just never gives less than 100%, and they're going to need that against Manchester City. The weekend.
His heat map against Sheffield United was unbelievable, Matt Ritchie. He was everywhere on that pitch.
He's busy.
Graft. Graft.
Proper busy.
He cares. He's apparently... unhinged. And I think we like that from Daryl Jan-Matt upwards. I think we love, as the Newcastle people call it, a Raji bastard. So we love. But again, Gail, nice to see Gail getting a goal from Andy Carroll.
He seemed angry after he scored.
Well, it was a bit Gutierrez when he came back, I think. Kind of like he's got real kind of axe to grind with the club, I think. He thinks he deserves a starting berth or certainly a little bit more game time, especially the way that Joe Linton's just not providing as many goals as he should do. So I think he's got a... Look, if he's not... I've said it before, if Gale's not going to play... Let's give Elias Sorensen or I don't know Muto a chance or something, because he's just not, he may be putting himself out around a little bit, Joe Linton, but he's just not producing enough goals. So yeah, I'm disappointed that it ended in a draw, but a hell of a crucial point for Aston Villa. Yeah.
I very much enjoyed the WhatsApp that you sent through to us last night, Pete, with the Mexican commentator.
Oh yeah,
Bambino Ponce, and who's very famous for moments like this, and his little song that he composed on the spot for Dwight Gale.
Where did that come from? Is that his usual kind of?
That's his calling card.
That's
his you remember when Thierry Henry scored that hat trick against Liverpool? Probably about. So I suppose that would have been when Arsenal last won the league, would it, in 2004? And he scored one really amazing goal in that, and he went into full. S-G-A-D Henry, S-G-A-D Henry. Yeah, he's...
More of that.
It's his thing.
We love all of that.
Well, we need that with no crowd noise. I'm actually thinking about the crowd noise. You would occasionally, during that Newcastle match, hear some Newcastle-specific chants. I think I caught some. What made me giggle is that I think 90% of the Newcastle United chants are about Mike Ashley being a fat cockney who need to get out of the club. So there's so many they couldn't use, which is enjoyable.
As a Londoner, can I say he's from Buckinghamshire?
I know.
Stop calling him a cockney, people.
I just moved to Buckinghamshire. No.
It's the Bow Bells, mate. That's where the Bow Bells are.
I live where Mike Ashley's from.
We'll take that as
terrible.
A full endorsement of Mike Ashley and all his policies.
You'll hear his, chopper.
Oh, no. I don't want to hear anything of his chopper. what was I going to say? I've actually lost my train of thought because we're talking about Mike Ashley's chopper. the crowd noise, that was it, Pete. I love the fact that the guys or the girls who are running these sound desks now, they're a week in, and I think they're kind of... They're taking liberties. Yeah, I think they are. I think they're kind of like...
They've gone Jean-Michel Jarre. Yeah. They're just pressing all the buttons.
There's a few moments in... I was switching between channels last night, so I was watching a few of the games. And there are a couple of moments where, particularly in the Manchester United match, I noticed there was a couple of times where like Mason Greenwood had a shot.
Mm.
And it wasn't even going anywhere near going in. And they're like, it played the cheers. Yeah. It's like, all right, don't get too carried away. They're trying to be like one step ahead of the game, aren't they?
By playing in the celebration
so that it's not on a delay. Mm. But by doing that, they're getting it quite wrong.
They should wait until VAR, just complete silence until VAR say it's a goal. Yep, yes, it's a goal.
Yeah, I'm loving that. I like the fact, I mean, we talked a lot about whether we like or don't like the crowd noise last week when the football first returned.
I like it.
And I like it even more that it's not perfect because it makes it amusing, especially when some of the games are a bit crap.
Mate,
give me something to laugh about.
Look, we've got a cutout of Osama bin Laden in the crowds at football matches. Yeah. Pointing out. Look, this is a perverse and strange situation. You've got El Mohammadi scoring for a team that Newcastle United are facing off on. Bruce signed him 3 times. Imagine what is going through Bruce's head at that point. I love the there's just weird stuff happening all over the place. I'm enjoying it.
I'm all for it.
I want to know if El Mohammadi still lives in Essex.
did he live in Essex?
That was the bizarre thing that he played for Sunderland and then for Hull. And apparently his wife decided, well, footballers live in Essex.
He used to
drive up there and back.
Wow. That is a hell of a drive.
That was like Crouchy in his last year at Burnley. He was getting the train up from London.
Oh, Peter I like
Crouch.
That.
Well, yeah, he lives in Kingston, doesn't he, Peter
yeah, he
Crouch?
Lives in Kingston.
Because during when he wasn't getting in the Burnley team, loads of like realistic AFC Wimbledon fans would always say on the message board, "I've seen Crouch around. He's going to sign for us." It's like he lives here.
But he was getting the train up to Burnley every day to go training.
No,
what a guy.
My favourite thing about a long train journey is finding a double seater and having to lie down.
Oh, yeah.
He's got no chance. His head's getting hit constantly by the trolley, isn't it?
When you get on a train for a long journey, are you the sort of person who chooses a seat near the toilet? So if you need the loo, it's easy to go.
Right.
Or as far away as possible because you don't want to smell anything.
As far away as possible. Good. I mean, goodness me. Have you smelt a train toilet, for crying out loud?
The biggest fear in the world is going for a wee on a train and someone pressing that button and the door opening because there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
It's like a horrible blind date.
have we hit on why Arsenal flew to Manchester City rather than to the train here?
That's exactly what.
Reasonable. Because there's not many more things that could have gone wrong when they played at Manchester City.
No.
But that would have been one of them, Jules.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a good look. Yeah. All right, back to Villa. So a crucial point for them against Newcastle. How do you think it's shaping up with the bottom six, I think you'd say, that could still all go down? Well, after Norwich losing again last night, are they done?
Yeah, they are.
They've got 5 matches or something, and they've only won 5 matches, so it would be pretty incredible, wouldn't it?
I think the best thing for Villa since the Premier League's restarted is how epically crap Bournemouth and West Ham have been. Mm. I mean, that is the best news for them, really.
It's been the best news for me as a Brighton fan as well.
and Brighton's wins have cleared the picture as well.
Just the one,
haven't they?
But thanks. We'll pretend we got to.
Yeah.
A win and a draw.
Wins.
Yeah.
We can leave that in, producer Charlie.
I call a draw against Leicester a win, to be fair.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was nearly a win.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because normally, even at this point in the season, you would say there are 6 or 7 that can go. I think we're down to 4, aren't we? Are we down to 4 already?
Like, West realistically? West Ham, Bournemouth, Villa, Norwich?
Yeah. I mean, Brighton's goal difference takes them out massively, so, yeah.
Oh, I hope you're right. Still, it's still nervy because Brighton's fixtures are tough. You're looking at the other teams. Some of them have got a rough ride as well, but a few of them have got actually some more right fixtures. So we just don't know how it's all going to turn out. But Villa have got 2 points. Well, first of all, the point last night and then the point that they got against Sheffield United in their first game back because of that goal that for some reason wasn't allowed for Sheffield United, which is crazy still when you think about it.
And ever since they've thought, what is the point of scoring goals? Because they're not going to kick it.
But they have got 2 points, Villa, from these last few games. And I think they'll be fairly happy that they've got those points out of those matches.
It's funny, though, that the reaction to that equaliser was not what I expected at all. I expect a lot more joy, whereas Dean Smith didn't move at all. And I think he was expecting a second.
That's why the way the Newcastle were defending.
Well, there was a sense, wasn't there, amongst the players on the pitch of this isn't enough.
Yeah,
already wasn't there.
Well, they had a lot of chances in the first half, I guess, wasn't there? But I mean, they've got Man United coming up. They've got Liverpool. They've got. I mean, imagine if Liverpool haven't won the title by then, that would be annoying, wouldn't it?
Watford tonight? They're away at Burnley. That's not going to be an easy game for Watford. But from the first match we've seen them in, do you think that they could get out of this relegation fight?
Yeah, I think a lot of it at the bottom is about optics and. I think with Watford, I'm as guilty as anyone of like thinking because they had that little bump under Nigel Pearce, oh, they'll be fine now. Well, they're not safe, are they? They're really not safe.
No, I just remember I was at the Liverpool a match where obviously they bullied Liverpool. I think they've got a bit of fight in them, and I think they might be okay, to be honest.
Oh, cool. All right.
So there you go.
The
Watford
other match.
Fans.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got like Newcastle, Norwich. They've got West Ham. I mean, there are some very spicy fixtures. Like last game of the season, West Ham Watford. That could be
everything.
Imagine
for that final place. You never know. Southampton Arsenal tonight. We talked a bit about David Luiz yesterday about him signing this 1 year contract for Arsenal. If they lose this game tonight to Southampton. How bad can things get?
Can I just say, I don't want to go back to the David Luiz thing. And I know I'm seen as one of his big defenders.
You love him.
It's simply impossible at the
moment. I wish he was a big defender.
I think when, you know, you always say politics and football governance is about burying bad news. I think David Luiz is the Trojan horse to hide what's happened with Cedric and Pablo Mari.
Right. He's chum.
They're two really, at least they only have to have another year of David Luiz. They've committed a lot of money in wages in guys in Cedric, who, well, he hasn't even played for him yet, has he? And Pablo Mari, who we've really no idea whether he can defend in the Premier League. I mean, he's always been sold as, you know, this is, you know, he's key to the way Arteta wants to play. And, you know, he's brilliant for Flamengo. None of that has any relationship to the reality of can he defend in the Premier League. None of us have got any idea. And if they've committed 4 years worth of wages to both of those, I think that's a bit much. If I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be more concerned about that than I would about David Luiz.
Andy, there's been a kit leaked as well, mate. That's more chum, more distraction.
Oh, another
more
one that
obfuscation.
Another one that looks like a training top.
Yeah, it's a lovely one.
That's what the world needs, isn't it?
Did they go for that? Because there was that one kind of flying around that looked like like blood splattered, like smeared blood. Was that a fake kit in the end? That's what I want to know. It was a few weeks ago. It looked like a murder had happened.
What, like a way kitty sort of?
Yeah,
business.
It looked like. I mean, because the front of the Arsenal shirt obviously says Emirates fly better.
Yeah.
It was a white kit with blood smears all over it. It looked like someone had flied terribly. Like they'd just been pulled out of a wreckage. It's a bit
like
Farage.
A bird flying into a waterfall.
Yeah. A little bit like that. Yeah.
Oh. I've got weird images in my head. Chelsea Man City, the other game tonight, kicking off at 8:15. We've talked quite a bit about that. So should we chat about what's been happening in Europe, Andy Brassel?
Why not?
Well, before we get there, can I just tidy up? I did say that Watford are playing West Ham last game of the season. They're not. They're playing Arsenal. If you've typed out your little tweet, up yours, all right? Up yours.
There is one game on the last day of the season that is two of the teams that could go down. So yeah. you were on to something, Pete.
Yeah.
You weren't completely
Detective
wrong.
Donaldson back on the case.
There will be.
Although his magnifying glass is cloudy.
Find out who it is.
Continue.
So, last night, Serie A, Atalanta versus Lazio. Atalanta came back from two down to win 3-2, Andy.
And it was always going to be a big match, but it was a real occasion as well. I mean, Atalanta had played at the weekend. They were playing the catch-up games at the weekend before Serie A properly started this week. And before kickoff, they had a moment's reflection. It wasn't really silence because they played what's been the sort of post-pandemic anthem in Italy of Rinascere by Robbie Facchinetti, who is a singer from Bergamo, and he wrote it in response to what was happening, and obviously Bergamo was one of the worst hit places, and it was really emotional. And you know, normally during a minute's silence or reflection or whatever, you can see the players are just, you know, basically counting time and waiting to get on with it. A lot of them were really affected, and it was a really crazy emotional game as well. And Lazio were winning 2-0. Of course, they're trying to catch Juventus at the top of the table. And then Atalanta came right back at them, ended up winning 3-2. It was a fantastic game. And I know a lot of people will look at it and think, well, it kind of kills the suspense, because Atalanta, who we already know are terrific to watch, you don't need to score another three goals to tell us that, or mount another comeback to tell us that. They now have a 6-point gap between them and Roma, who also won, and Edin Dzeko scored a very nice brace in fourth and fifth place. So it kind of kills some of the tension in terms of the Champions League place. And also, it means Juventus have got a 4-point gap to Lazio at the top. But I think we should be a little bit reticent on writing Lazio off, because it's the first time they've lost. They were 21 games unbeaten in Serie A, which is pretty amazing. They can still score goals. They're still a terrific team. They could have killed it at 2-0, and Ciro Immobile missed a couple of good chances, which he normally wouldn't. So I think the other thing you can underestimate about Italy, there are 11 games left. It's not like a short time till the end of the season. I mean, I think Nicky Bandini, a friend of the show, pointed out that that's pretty much a third of the season.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should be writing anyone off just yet. Or maybe we can write off Inter after they gave away loads as well in the 3-3 draw with Sassuolo. Sassuolo, kind of their bogey team. You know, when you can see Conte...
This is a bonkers game, wasn't it?
It was crazy. And you know when you can see Conte on a touchline and you think, one of these days his head really is going to explode. I thought that day might be yesterday. It was pretty special. Ashley Young gave away a pen. Milan Skriniar, their best defender, got sent off. They conceded an equaliser right at the end as well, having got themselves back in front. Romelu Lukaku on the score sheet again, and Alexis Sanchez had an interesting little cameo. He stood in for Lautaro Martinez. So, I mean, look, I at this point have reconciled myself with the fact that Inter aren't going to win the league, but they are still great entertainment, and Conte on his own is still great entertainment.
He's going to go back to hairless Conte. His hair's going to just absolutely lose it. Because I was watching the Atalanta situation with clips, because obviously the emotional start and stuff. But to follow it up on Twitter from the Atalanta account saying, "Oh yeah!" When the goal goes in, like the Kool-Aid man kind of, you know, took a little bit of the gravity of the situation out of it. But wow, what a hit from Malinovsky.
It was an equaliser, wasn't it? It was amazing.
It hit so hard. The way that the ball hit the net, it sounded like a man or a woman aggressively eating an apple. Something else.
You see, that's why you don't need the fake crowd sounds.
Yeah, because you need...
You need satisfying... Because the only ball hitting the net situation that I can think that you could hear with a crowd, you remember Erling Haaland's goal, the winner for Dortmund against Paris Saint-Germain? That was a proper watcha.
Watcha.
I think the thing is there is this weird sort of, you can still hear quite a lot even with the fake crowd noise.
I think some providers have kind of been cognizant of the fact
mixed it
in a little bit lower. They're letting it.
Well, because like what I really wanted to hear in Newcastle Villa was the row after the Douglas Luiz thing just before half time, him and Lascelles.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see that, because you could see Jack Wilshere sort of chipping off under his breath. Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
Jack Wilshere wishes he was there to be chipping off. But you could see him chipping off.
Neither of them are wearing shin pads, so don't worry about it.
What about the other news from Italy? Juventus agreeing, or kind of coming close to agreeing, this deal with Barcelona to sign their 23-year-old midfielder. I'm going to hopefully pronounce this right. Arthur Melo. I'm so desperate to just call him Arthur.
The aardvark.
Arthur!
The kid's cartoon character, Arthur the aardvark.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to give us a figure a quoted figure there, Jules?
The quoted figure is £72.5 million, which is a roughly around 80 million euros. But then... The other reports are that, and this is where it gets kind of bizarre, is that it also includes a deal for 30-year-old Miralem Pjanic going the other way for 70 million. That doesn't seem quite right, swapping a 23-year-old for a 30-year-old...
Yeah.
And well, especially someone as talented as Arta.
There's some accusations of creative accounting, isn't there?
There have been accusations made.
Look, I've been told by my accountant that if I do Prospero's monologue from the Tempest every year in my house, technically it's a theatre hello arts funding. So look, we've all got something going on, haven't we?
Actually, Swiss Ramble explains it very, very well on Twitter about player amortization and how they can both report a fat profit. Though basically, it's an exchange with Juventus paying 10 million euros.
Right.
For what it's worth, Arthur has not delivered on his early promise. I realise he had an amazing game at Wembley against Tottenham in the messy game in the Champions League, but he's not really delivered on his promise, unless his promice was to enjoy quite a full nightlife in Barcelona. And whereas Miralem Pjanic, I love, but I think he's the last player that Barcelona need at the moment because he's getting older and he's getting slower.
I like him though, Arta. I think that, so there was a Champions League game. It probably was the one you're talking about, Andy. Whenever I work at these matches, I look at the team sheet and always, quite often, if the game looks like there's nothing in it, I'll try and pick a couple of players that I'll watch for, say, 15 minutes just to see what they're like and solely just watch that player. And I've done it with a couple of players before that I didn't really know much about at the point. And one of those was Arthur because I liked the name and I thought, oh, I want to watch Arthur. And the other one was Fred before he signed for Manchester United. There's a bit of a theme here. I basically picked out the names of footballers that don't sound like footballers' names and watched them. But
sound like granddads.
Yeah, but I actually quite like the look of Arthur. In the game, I watched him and obviously have kept an eye on him since then. He's got a good pass on him.
Yeah, well, the potential's there. There's no doubt about it. And that's what they're paying for, potential. Just quite a lot of it is untapped at the moment. And Barcelona have been trying for a while to make this squad younger, but they've just been more and more reliant on the senior players. I mean, obviously, you can't not be reliant on Messi. Happy birthday, Lou, 33 this week. But... I mean, that's a massive problem, isn't it? Saying that out loud, saying that he's 33, that must be frightening if you're a Barcelona fan.
What's next? What is next?
34?
It'll still be bloody brilliant at 38.
That's that one cleared up.
all right, guys, that's all from us today. Good stuff as always. Tomorrow, Marcus, Jim and Luke are going to be here for the preview show as they look ahead to the FA Cup quarterfinals. That means us three have got a cheeky day off tomorrow.
Let's get a raspberry mivvy.
Let's do it.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.